is Spotted Cow? Well, it's named after the black and white spotted Holsteins that dot the landscape here in America's Dairyland. And it is the flagship beer of the New Glarus Brewing Company. A beer, according to the new documentary, Tale of the Spotted Cow, that changed everything. We'll talk with the director of the documentary, which will be shown at the Overture Center in Madison tomorrow night, and one of its stars, Deb Carey, president, co-owner, founder of the New Glarus Brewing Company. And we will welcome your questions for both of them and your tales about Spotted Cow and the brewery that created it. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 9 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, May 7th. So are you a fan of Spotted Cow? Do you have friends out of state who are jealous because it's not available where they live? What questions do you have about how it came about? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our first guest is Bill Roach, the executive producer and director of Tale of the Spotted Cow, a documentary about the New Glarus Brewing Company and its founders and its flagship beer. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks a lot for being with us. So why did you decide that you wanted to tell the tale of the Spotted Cow?
Well, I had worked on a project previously the year before for the Wisconsin Film Festival, and I hadn't produced anything independently for a while. And the story just kind of fell into my lap when I was out for a ride one day, and I stopped at a brewery. And I was really impressed with the brewery, the facility. Then I started reading about Deb and Dan, and I just felt that it deserved a story that I should produce.
Yep, and Deb tells us that you had to kind of twist her arm a little bit because she thought everybody knew everything about the Spotted Cow and the New Glarus Brewery.
Right. Deb was like, well, everyone knows our story. After I did their interview, she told me, yeah, Dan and I discussed it. Like, we didn't tell you anything new. And I was like, well, Deb, I don't think anyone knows your story, you know, like you think they do. I think the story is an endearing story that they thought everyone knew about, but I was pretty, I didn't know their story. So.
No. Yeah, I was going to say, I've been around, and I remember when the brewery started, and I'm aware of the Careys and Spotted Cow, but I did not know all of the story either. So why did you think it was a story worth telling?
Just the fact that Deb started with nothing, how they met, I think it's all really amazing, and just the struggles. It's kind of like they struggle dealing with, poverty, just getting by, and then they struggle just getting a business underway. Then in the end, they actually had to struggle with success. I mean, what do you do with success when companies like Budweiser are coming after you to buy you out? So I just thought everything they've done in their business world has been very classy.
Yeah. And how has the reception been to the film?
I think the audiences have really enjoyed it. Just the name Spotted Cow itself, where it comes from, I think is a pretty funny story. So, yeah, I think it's been well received.
Well, why don't you tell us about that? And we'll certainly talk to Deb Carey in a little bit, but I did play the clip. How did Spotted Cow get its name?
Deb and Dan had just received an international award for the best specialty beer in the world. I think it was 1996. And so Deb told Dan she wanted to take a ride in the English countryside because they had gone to London to receive the award. And she saw these sheep, and there's sheep all over the countryside in England. And she started laughing about it. And she was laughing because she thought, what do people think when they come to Wisconsin and see all the spotted cows and, the countryside. So that's truly, they actually named a beer before they even had the beer. Is where the name Spotted Cow comes from.
Yeah, she thought she would. And it is only in Wisconsin that you can get Spotted Cow.
Correct. It's her decision as a marketing, her marketing decision to just only sell it in Wisconsin, which I think is brilliant myself.
Yeah, why?
Well, I mean, it creates demand. In the documentary, it talks about how Coors did the same thing years ago, where you couldn't buy Coors, you know, east of the Mississippi, so there's always a demand to buy Coors beer. And Deb, I mean, Deb doesn't want to become a huge brewery. I mean, I think she and Dan want to stay the size they are, take care of their friends in Wisconsin, and I think it's a pretty cool business model.
Yeah. Also, you get big headlines when Minnesota bars illegally sell your beer. That just happened.
Exactly. I'm not really sure what they were thinking.
But. Spotted Cow, though, while it is, why do you call it the beer that changed everything?
Well, for them, their brewery was, I won't say struggling, but they were just getting by for the first 3 years. And then they came up with Spotted Cow, and Deb was out pushing it and pushing it and pushing it. And then all of a sudden, I mean, Spotted Cow took off. And, you know, that is their signature beer, and, you know, it accounts for the majority of their business. And I don't think they would be at where they're at without Spotted Cow.
Yeah. It wasn't a sure thing, though, when they first started marketing it. There was a little bit of, bar owners saying, hey, no one's going to order a Spotted Cow, a beer by the name of Spotted Cow.
Right. I think, I mean, in the documentary it talks about, you know, people being upset with Dan, like, why would you name it Spotted Cow and all this? But, you know, in the end, like, now there's, I mean, they were like the front, into start of the frontier of all these strange names of beers, where now it's like there's every name you could think of beer. Back then, you know, as they talk about it, it was just Schlitz and Busch and Budweiser. You know, now you can go into a liquor store and there's a bazillion different beer names.
So it, in a way, too, it's not just that Spotted Cow changed everything for the Careys and for the New Glarus Brewing Company, but did it change, did it have an important role in the whole craft beer market?
To be honest, you know, excuse me, I'm not an expert on craft beers or beer itself, so I couldn't really address that, to be honest. I'm not really sure how much impact Spotted Cow actually had.
Which certainly had an unusual name. So are you a fan of the beer?
Yes, I think Spotted Cow is a wonderful beer.
Yeah. Is that one of the reasons why that you it fell into your lap? You just were looking at a label one day thinking, hey, what is the story behind this?
No, to be honest, I just bought a new lens. I mean, I produce features for ESPN, and one day I had bought a new lens, and I was just going to go out in the countryside and take some photos with it and see how it worked. And I ended up in New Glarus, and I was sitting there, and then I think I was getting gas, and I was looking up on the hill, and I saw the brewery, and I'm like, you know, people always told me that it's a really cool tour, you know, the tour of the brewery is awesome. So I went up there, and they had just opened. I went in. I was the only one there. And I was really amazed at the facility. It's a beautiful facility. And I started talking to one of the brewers, and I said, wow, I should do a documentary on this. I've been looking for something to work on, and that's kind of how it all happened.
Yeah, it debuted at the Wisconsin Film Festival, as far as I know. Now it's going to be airing tomorrow night at the Overture. Anything people should know about its distribution?
We haven't even gotten that far. This is kind of a project I've done on the side, and I've been quite busy the last 2 months, so we haven't actually even had time to think about that. I do know Deb is going to have it for sale at the brewery, and that they're going to be showing it. I think she's building the new museum at the brewery where they're going to be showing it.
Oh, well, very cool. So what do you hope people take away from the documentary once they see it?
That's an interesting question, because the documentary isn't really about beer. I think some people could say it's a marketing video, but to me it's the message within the story about how Deb and Dan really care about their employees. And they've run their business where their employees come first and they take care of their employees. And that's kind of the message, that the underlying message in the whole documentary that I would hope people take away from it.
Thank you very much for being with us.
All right. Thank you.
Bill Roach, executive producer and director of The Tale of the Spotted Cow, a documentary about the New Glarus Brewing Company. We're going to check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we will welcome in Deb Carey, founder, president, co-owner of the New Glarus Brewing Company. And we will welcome your questions about New Glarus Brewing Company, Spotted Cow, and what it's meant for the area, what it's meant for craft brewing. Are you a fan of Spotted Cow? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You know you're in Wisconsin when you see the Spotted Cow. That's what New Glarus Brewing Company says about its flagship beer, which is only distributed in Wisconsin. Well, we just spoke to the maker of a new documentary on the New Glarus Brewing Company and its flagship beer, Tale of the Spotted Cow. Now we will talk with one of the film's stars, the owner, the founder, the president of the New Glarus Brewing Company, Deb Carey. She and her husband Dan established the New Glarus Brewing Company in 1993. And we welcome your questions for her about what went into the founding of New Glarus Brewing Company and the making of Spotted Cow. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Tale of the Spotted Cow will be shown tomorrow night at the Overture Center in Madison. We do have some information posted on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And we're very happy to welcome Deb Carey. Thank you very much for being with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Joy.
Well, so why did you agree to tell your story in this documentary?
I have to say that I did kind of argue with Bill about it because he called and it's the end of summer, so it's a busy festival time and a busy production time, and like you spoke with him about, I was saying, you know, I think everybody knows this story and it's not that interesting. And really what convinced me was Bill. He was very persistent and he said, hey, look, here's what I do. Look up, you know, he'd done a great story on this Mendota football team. And I mean, which really then when I looked that up, I thought, now I think we're not good enough for him. But I mean, his photography is wonderful. And he told me he wouldn't take up a lot of my time, and so I just caved.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you did. It.
I did
learn a lot about Spotted Cow and New Glarus Brewing Company and you in this documentary. I don't think everybody knows that you came from very meager beginnings, and you and Dan really were struggling. When you decided to come to New Glarus. Tell us, just give us the cliff notes.
Well, I mean, the thing is that brewers are generally not paid very well. It's a lot like being a cheesemaker. They're talented individuals that work long hours in kind of substandard conditions, generally wearing rubber boots and either too cold or too hot and early in the morning and late at night. And we had been working for a long time. When we met, we were both very young, and we were really very grateful to have our 20-year-old single-wide trailer to live in. And, you know, you can go nowhere but up after that. And we just were trying to figure out a way to take care of our family. I think this is a relevant conversation because there are so many, many people that are working really hard and trying to figure out how to get ahead. And I hope that people see this and it inspires them or shows them a path.
Yeah. Well, tell us how you ended up in New Glarus.
Well, I'm a native of Wisconsin and annoyingly proud of this state. When I met Dan, we were my family had moved to Helena, Montana, and that's where I met Dan. Then we lived in the state of Oregon, and subsequent to that, we moved to Colorado, where he worked for Anheuser-Busch. And, you know, people who are from Wisconsin will be surprised to know that the rest of the world does not have great cheese. No one knows what a brat is, and they're not as impressed with Wisconsin as I am. So it's kind of funny because you go other places and you run into other people from Wisconsin and then, you know, chat it up about family reunions and springtime. And, you know, I just really wanted to come back.
Yeah. And you sent Dan to come check out the area after you did a little bit of, market research and figured the Madison area had good demographics for what you wanted to do. But you sent him here in February. What were you thinking there?
I thought it was totally fair because February is my least favorite month, and I figured if he liked it in February, he'd like it anytime. He was born in San Francisco, so you know hadn't been to Wisconsin really, and I wanted him to see it and know what he was getting into.
Yeah, and he ended up stopping for gas in New Glarus and was taken by its charm?
Yeah, when he stopped, really he was being naughty. I had to draw on a 30-mile circumference around Madison and was saying, you know, go take a look at the towns and see if there's somewhere you think that would work out. We knew what we needed, like 10,000 square feet of warehouse, a loading dock, proximity to a state highway. You know, we had a list. And so he stops here for gas. And he called later that night, and he said, oh, you'd like this town I was in. It looks like Aying. And Aying is a little town in Germany where we had lived when he was serving his brewing apprenticeship. And I said, oh, that's great. And he goes, oh, plus there's a warehouse there with a huge sign on it, you know, that's for sale. And it looks, you know, it's right on Highway 69, and it's got a couple of loading docks. And I said, well, that's really good. What's the phone number? Oh, I didn't write it down.
So then you proceeded to, there's no internet to look it up.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. And people here remember this and, you know, fairly tell jokes about it because I got on the phone and just started to call. I had a brochure of New Glarus, so I had the names of some businesses, but I couldn't tell what was the scale of the map and are there trees between this bar and where that warehouse is. So I started to call people and say, can you see that sign? Would somebody go look at this number? I mean, I will pay somebody. Would you please walk down the street and tell me what that number is? And, I mean, of course, everybody thought, who's this crazy person on the phone?
But somebody gave you the number for free, and so it begins. We are talking with Deb Carey, founder, president of the New Glarus Brewing Company, talking with her about Tale of the Spotted Cow, a new documentary, which will be playing tomorrow night at the Overture Center in Madison. We are learning the story of the founding of the brewery, and we will talk more about what inspired Spotted Cow, the beer, the famous beer, that made New Glarus famous. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. You know, we have a caller who's been waiting, and while we're not completely done with the tale of the Spotted Cow, let's go to Steve in Montreal. Hi, Steve.
Well, good morning.
Morning.
Good morning. Lovely morning up here in beautiful Montreal. And I'm having my breakfast, and I must say that Spotted Cow isn't just for breakfast anymore.
All right, Steve.
But I have toured the brewery. I am from Indiana, and I did tour the brewery here a couple years ago with some of my fellow Swiss Club members. Had to be in New Glarus for our Swissness, and had to do the brewery, and Deb, you're making a magnificent beer there. I like a good full-bodied beer. There's a one from Pottstown, Pennsylvania that I have brought to me occasionally, but doggone it, yours is good.
And what you described it to my producer as?
It sits on the palate, and you know you have something there.
And it tastes like God meant beer to be.
Yes, exactly that.
You're burying the lead, Steve.
Anything else, I use this so-called lightweight stuff. I water house plants with it. Now, Deb, is that produced as a draft beer by any chance?
Or are you draft simply, beer?
No, you're Spotted Cow.
Yeah, it's on draft all over Wisconsin.
Well, I haven't. Joni's up in Iron Belt doesn't have it like that yet, so I'll have to talk to her about it.
You will have to talk to her because we are the best-selling draft beer in the state.
Which is, that's wonderful. I did not know that. So, and you are all over the state of Wisconsin, but only the state of Wisconsin, right, Deb?
Yep, that's true. It's interesting. It turned out to be a great marketing decision, but initially it was just a personal sanity and economic decision.
You did move into Chicago briefly. Why did you decide against that?
Well, actually, we're in the whole state of Illinois, and the thing was that it's hard when you start a brewery because I'd work on the bottling line a couple days. The girls were young, so they need to be fed and gotten to school and help them with homework. And, we're living in a rental house, so it's not very nice, and it's hard to keep clean and still run the brewery and meet with wholesalers and run around the streets and talk to people about why they should buy your beer and put it in their store or in their restaurant. And so it's very stressful. And going in and out of Illinois, I just really despised it. People weren't very friendly. There's a lot of pay-to-play. And I always felt like I was driving home at midnight, kind of getting lost, leaving Chicago, and then have to get up the next day and work early in the day. It was exhausting. And while this is going on, beer sales are continuing to grow. And it's just like a farmer. You grow a little, then you have to buy more equipment. So we were at a point where we were going to have to take out a loan and buy more equipment. And I thought, I could just pull out of Illinois, and then we would have enough capacity to take care of sales in Wisconsin. And, we'd put off trying to get more financing at a time that really we were quite vulnerable. So I did that, and it was funny because just all hell broke loose. I mean, wholesalers were angry. People in Illinois were angry. I was threatened with lawsuits. And I just thought, no, it makes good economic sense. And, I've never looked back.
Yeah. And tell me your reaction when we saw headlines just a couple of weeks ago about the Minnesota bar that got into trouble because they actually, I think they took a bunch of kegs and hauled them over from Wisconsin to their bar in Minnesota. And now they're facing felony charges for doing that.
Well, the thing is, what do I feel like? I'm very flattered that anybody is that enthusiastic about our beer. I mean, I'm thrilled every time I see somebody come by and, purchase a case and put it in the back of their, little Subaru or something. So for somebody to be buying six kegs and dragging them across the state line, it's, mind-boggling to me.
Yeah.
But above and beyond that, the beer industry is highly regulated, and the issue here is they're avoiding state taxes. So you can take beer across the state line, you just can't resell it.
Uh-huh.
And I feel bad for the guy, but I don't know. He wasn't very sneaky about it. It's on his Facebook and his website, so I don't know. It
wasn't very bright either, I guess. So.
Well, I feel bad for him.
Yeah, but in a way, it does have to be flattering that there are people who want it. People, when I had family in Kansas who, whenever they'd come to visit or I would visit them, they wanted me to, haul them some Spotted Cow, and you hear that all the time. So in a way, just being only in Wisconsin is makes it, I don't know, maybe even more desirable.
Yeah, maybe. I think it's pretty good beer. It stands up on its own.
Yeah.
But I have to say my opinion about food is that it's fun to have some regionality. When I travel, it's really a little bit depressing to arrive somewhere and drive down an avenue and you look at chain stores that are the exact same stores as the last place you landed. And there's something really magical and fun about going maybe to the Southwest and having Tex-Mex or getting down and having some kind of French infusion in the South. I mean, I think Wisconsin should have its own special things, and I'm really proud to be part of that.
Grant emails us, drinkability is one of the most difficult things to incorporate in a beer, and New Glarus's beers are outstanding in that way and in all other ways. Dan is an exceptional brewer who inhabits a league of his own. Well, I bet you won't argue with him, Deb.
Wow. No, thank you, Grant. But I agree with Grant. That is why I built a brewery. Mm-hmm. I mean, Dan is very gifted, and it's hard to explain when we're young and broke, and he's making spontaneously fermented fruit beers. You know, it's like, who does that? That it had never been done outside of Belgium. Nobody thought it could be done, and really his ability to brew great beer is what drove me to build this brewery, because I thought he has such an incredible gift. We have to at least try, you know, while we're young enough to start over. Plus, he is a diploma master brewer, and they're in short supply in America. I think there's maybe only 5 or 6 still around, so He does have an incredible depth of knowledge in regards to beer in all avenues. It's what he eats, breathes, and sleeps.
You know, it was a couple of years ago, a couple of decades ago, that I remembered you and Dan won. It was like best craft beer in the world for the Belgium Red.
Yeah, we've won that a few times. That's from the Brewing Industry International Awards, and I think it's biannually, and they hold it in London. That's actually the story of the Spotted Cow. That's where Bill was talking about us driving, because at the time, we'd never been to England, and we didn't know that we would ever be able to be there again. And we just, you know, I just wanted to take a look around while we had a couple hours of free time before we flew back. But I can't even count the number of awards he's won for the Belgian Red. I mean, I'll bet it's 20 or 30, many, many gold medals at the Great American Beer Festival. He's recognized as a pioneer in brewing. He also got an award, the Russell Shear Award for Innovation in Brewing.
Yeah. And while we've mentioned it before, you were traveling around in England when you were there for that award, and you noticed all the sheep. And that's that inspired Spotted Cow. Give us that story briefly.
Well, it really just is a story of huge jet lag and exhaustion, because when the girls were young and something like this would happen where, you know, we had to be there and travel and leave the brewery and leave the girls, we would do things like fly on Tuesday, arrive on Wednesday, whatever the event was, Wednesday night, and fly back on Thursday. And so we were always working and very tired. And so I can hear myself, you know, I'm in the car going, look at these sheep. Oh, my God, how can there be so many sheep? Like, what kind of sheep even are these? And there's little, it was lambing season, and there were just huge flocks and all these little baby lambs bouncing around in the grass. And it just occurred to me what a tourist I sounded like. And thankfully, I was in the car by myself, although now I've told this story so many times, people know what a goof I am. But then I thought, oh, you know, I'll bet people come from other parts of the world to Wisconsin, and they must have the same feeling about our spotted cows, that they would say, what are these, and why do they have spots, and what kind of cows
are these? And we're going to check news, and a star is born. We'll continue talking about Spotted Cow after the news.
I got to thinking, what would a beer taste like in the 1850s? The Pilsner-style beer was becoming popular, but they wouldn't have been able to have cooling to make ice for lagering, so they would have made it an ale, and maybe it would have been in the style of the Pilsner. It would have probably been maybe fine imported hops if they really wanted the nice flavor. It would have been made with local barleys, and it would have been unfiltered, and that's kind of where Spotted Cow came from.
And that was Dan Carey of the New Glarus Brewing Company describing how he created the flavor of Spotted Cow, the flagship beer of the New Glarus Brewing Company. We are talking with Deb Carey, founder, president, owner of the New Glarus Brewing Company. She and her husband, Dan, established the New Glarus Brewing Company in 1993, and they are both the subjects of the new documentary, Tale of the Spotted Cow, which will be playing on Friday night at the Overture Center in Madison. And there's information about that on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We welcome your questions for Deb Carey. We welcome your thoughts about Spotted Cow or other brews that you can get at the New Glarus Brewing Company. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Deb, there we have. We have a farmhouse ale. That's how you describe a Spotted Cow?
Yeah, it was Dan's own creation. There's a lot of discussion about what beer style it is. There's a whole group of people that love to judge beer, but he just kind of made it up on his own. It's his own creation, as a lot of his beers are, and I think, you know, that's part of why it tastes so interesting.
Yeah, we have a lot of people who want to, in fact, let's go to the phones and take John in Madison. Hi, John.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
Three quick items. First of all, being a farm boy raised in Vermont, we had Jersey cows and not Holstein cows, so I really like that Spotted Cow because it doesn't have no cream on the top. But I always drink that here at milking time.
You do? You drink Spotted Cow at milking time?
Yeah, I'm just saying that I'm not a farmer anymore. But they say why do you drink it in the evening? I say it's great for milking time. But I'd also like to congratulate them on having such a group of people. Greg Griffin, who she knows well, was a great person when I was had to be at the long term care, and what a great human being is. And the other thing is I brought a case of that with me when I went back to the University of Vermont. And boy, was that a hit.
I bet it was. Thank you, John. So I don't know who John was thanking, but you did, Deb?
You know, Joy, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but it's an important point because, you know, Dan and I are stockholders in the brewery, but I have 27 investors, and that's part of the equation of how do you move from poverty into something else. There really are a lot of people who have money to invest, and they are looking for people who are willing to work and build something. So Greg is one of my investors.
I see. Yeah, in fact, the tale of the Spotted Cow is not just about the beer, or specifically the brewery. You talk about how you were able to achieve the American dream. And do you think that's still possible today?
I do think that it's possible. I think that in some ways it's almost mandatory that people start to think creatively about how they're going to take care of themselves. And, you know, the days of I'm going to find a job and I'll get a pension and have health insurance and stuff are kind of behind us. And it's important that we work together cooperatively, and things like writing a business plan, you know, it's a pretty easy exercise. There's, you know, we got a little book from a bookstore that was not more than a quarter of an inch thick and went through it and, you know, compared ourselves to others, discussed the market, put together spreadsheets of what we thought our expenses would be, and that was the jumping off point. And you know, that's in within anybody's reach, and it is just so easy to do. And it's a great exercise because you can make your mistakes on paper instead of in a business. And the other thing I tell people to do if they're thinking of starting a business is go work in the business that you're thinking of starting, because, you know, often people have kind of romantic ideas of what it is to run a business, that you, you know, maybe have a lot of time off or a lot of money, and they don't really understand the struggle, for one, and that you don't have time off at all. Actually, small business owners work, you know, much longer hours on average than most American workers. So, but if you have a passion and you're trying to figure out how to take care of yourself and your family, I think it's a good route.
Yeah. And when I asked Bill Roach, the executive producer of Tale of the Spotted Cow, what he hoped people would take away from the documentary, when we spoke with him a little earlier in the hour, he did say that he hoped people would realize how well you treat your employees and how happy your employees are. Talk some about that.
Well, Dan and I have both always worked, and so we understand the value of workers. And I mean, I just don't understand why. It seems to me there's a strange discussion going on where people are attacking different groups that are vulnerable, you know, whether it's a worker or single moms or seniors. I just really don't understand where that's coming from, because it's important that we stick together and take care of each other. And quite frankly, I can't run a brewery by myself. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a brewer without a bottling line team is nothing but a home brewer. You just absolutely have to have workers that are invested, that are healthy, which means they need health insurance, that they feel secure and happy, so they need things like somewhere nice to live and vehicles that start in the morning. And you can't get that unless you pay a living wage and take care of health insurance. And that's just the way I see it.
Yeah, boy, we have so many callers. Let me go back to the phones. Phil in Westby. Hi, Phil.
Yeah, this is Phil in Westby. Hey, I take a trip once a month down to Kentucky with a truckload of Spotted Cow, and I come back with a truckload. Can I say Yanglings?
Yingling?
Yinglings, yeah. It really supplements my Social Security bank.
Wait, I don't know if I, maybe I don't, is Yingling another beer, Deb?
Yeah, it's a beer out of Pennsylvania, I think. And so I kind of wonder if your caller isn't confessing to illegally distributing Yingling and Glarus beer, in which case I hope he doesn't say what his name is.
He already did. Phil, thanks for the call. Let me move on. We have Holly who tweets, my fave is Spotted Cow, but my new love is Totally Naked. I'm always excited when it comes back in the spring. Yeah, you guys have lots of fun names for your beers. Do you have a fave yourself, Deb?
Well, it's a little bit like picking favorite children.
Right.
So, no, I don't particularly have a favorite.
Yeah. The Totally Naked is it only comes back in the spring?
Yeah, it's our summer beer. And the story behind that one is that when we started the brewery, there was a wholesaler that we'd had a meeting with, and this guy was kind of going on about craft brewers couldn't make lighter flavored beers because technically they're really difficult to make. Any mistake that is made, or if you cut in the quality of your ingredients, it's going to be very evident. Versus beers that are highly hopped, you can make a lot of mistakes, and it's a little bit like Cajun food or, you know, something where it's like char broiled. You know, it might not be as great a cut of meat, but who knew? So Dan made this beer, which is all barley, and so that's really technically very hard to do, in reaction to this conversation. And when he did it, there really weren't small brewers making, you know, lighter beers. And he said he felt like he'd walked up to the gorilla cage and grabbed it with both hands and shook the bars because you know, we're putting the big brewers on notice. You know, craft brewers can brew anything. And that's why we named it Totally Naked, because we're, as brewers, we are totally exposed.
Yeah. Chris on Facebook says, I just moved to Green Bay from Grand Rapids, Michigan, and was attending an event at a supper club in Neenah. I loved Blue Moon at the time, and when I couldn't get that at the bar, they suggested Spotted Cow. It was love at first sip. It has been my go-to beer ever since. So there we go, the convert.
Oh, that's very sweet. Yeah, we have a lot of imitators. You know, it's interesting. When we made Spotted Cow, there really wasn't anybody making farmhouse ales, and Blue Moon was one that came on after us, and I can name a few others, but, you know, imitation is the sincerest form of flattery, and since we don't sell in Michigan, I'm glad she had something else to drink.
Yeah, let me, I'm going to see if we can fit in a couple more quick ones. Kathleen in Menominee. Hi, Kathleen.
Good morning. My son and his lovely wife live in Arizona, and what they miss the most, I think, is Spotted Cow. So when I went down to visit in February, I brought them Spotted Cow, brats, and cheese curds.
Good for you, Kathleen. Perfect. The trifecta, maybe that is? I don't know. We have just a minute to go. What's the future for, let's talk about New Glarus Brewing Company. Is there, what's on the horizon, Deb?
Well, you know, more of the same. We've got lots of construction going on. We're putting in a new bottling line. There's always new beers. This morning, as soon as I'm done here, we've got a R&D release beer, the Wild Bitter. And so those are beers that you can only get at the brewery. And so, you know, people I expect will be up there waiting for me to show up and open the doors. And we've got the Wild Fruit Cave, so we're doing more sours and things that have always been in Dan's wheelhouse, but this gives him some flexibility. So we're not thinking of expanding outside of Wisconsin. We will be doing, I think, more interesting things, but basically just more of the same.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. It was fun to learn more about the tale of the Spotted Cow. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thanks so much for having us.
Deb Carey, founder, president of the New Glarus Brewing Company. And the documentary Tale of the Spotted Cow will be playing tomorrow night at the Overture Center in Madison. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.